Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnut, and today my guest is Rob Watson, founder of Freewheeling. And Rob is a veteran of the Internet Marketing Podcast, having been on, I was going to say several times, because I think it's 3 or 4, and I couldn't quite figure that out as I was looking back at our episodes. Can you remember, Rob? Is it 3 or 4?
This will be 4, yes.
Four. Okay, so this is number 4. And you've spoken on different paid related topics in the past, but today we're going to hone in on Google Shopping in particular, and we're talking about how to optimize your Google Shopping feed in 2020. For those that haven't heard your previous episodes, number 1, I'm going to link to them in the show notes so they can go back and listen to you again. But before we get into this episode, for everyone who I'm introducing you to for the first time, can you introduce yourself, please, Rob?
I've been in e-commerce since 1999. I've been working on Google Ads within an e-commerce agency since 2005. And I founded Freewheeling at the beginning of 2019.
There you go. And so on the topic of Google Shopping, and it's not one that we've covered recently on the podcast from my memory, but it's an important topic. And the reason we're covering it today is because there were some interesting and quite critical announcements from Google about what's happening in Google Shopping around April 2020. So can you maybe talk through what those announcements were and how they impact businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose as a little history lesson, Google Shopping did used to be a free model going back maybe 7-8 years now.
I think it was 2012 that stopped.
Right. So that and Google Ads had been running for a while prior to that, but then it got incorporated into Google Ads and became a paid model, and in my view, became a lot more successful and a lot more effective for that. What's happening, or happening now already, and was announced in April, is that they're making a massive shift towards offering a proportion of Google Shopping traffic to be free. So they've got this program called Surfaces across Google that's it's been in the Google Merchant Center for some time now, but hadn't really done anything. I think it'd been there for a number of months before they even made this announcement. But it was this announcement that really made it clear that it's actually worth putting some time into. So, I mean, focusing on the free element, where that's sat at the moment is that within the US, India, and recently Indonesia, when you click on the shopping tab in Google, so like the Google homepage, you've got web, you've got shopping, you've got images, and a number of other options. The shopping tab, the majority of the products that you see there in those three countries will be free listings through this Surfaces across Google program. Well, part of that announcement they made in April is that it's their intention that will be rolled out globally before the end of this year. So, timing's interesting there because the end of this year is going to be peak season, it's retail, it's Christmas. So how early we're going to get that, whether we're going to get that right at the end of the year, or whether we're going to get it in October, or it's going to be the most value to e-commerce advertisers. Obviously, nobody knows yet. So a lot of this is about sort of preparation. But there's a bit more to surfaces than just the shopping tab. So, and that's why they don't call it shopping free. They call it surfaces across Google, because there are three main products or places within Google that your ads, your not, I shouldn't say ads, should I, where your shopping listings can appear. So obviously there's the shopping tab. There's also they're releasing different formats that are going to sit within the main web page, predominantly on mobile. So for example, if you're selling clothing, there's a clothing format that will appear in the main best recommended products for X, depending on what you're searching, of course. And then also within the images section of Google. So there's web, there's shopping, there's images, there's whatever, news. Within images, surfaces will also run products there. So potentially there's three different places where your ads could show for free. So, I mean, this sounds great in theory, but in terms of actually what we can expect, what numbers we might get from this. Two clients that I work with, two clothing clients that I work with that are based in the UK but had been advertising to the US. I say had because they've paused all their ads during the pandemic. But what they had, so prior to April, obviously prior to the pandemic, running consistently, say for example, they were getting maybe 500 clicks a day through their Google ads. We get set them all up on surfaces because it's free and you might as well run them. They're now getting about 100 free clicks a day from surfaces across Google. So you can get a sense then that exactly how much impact this could have on advertisers' ROI if 20% of their shopping clicks became free.
Mm. There's some interesting things as you were talking there. So number one, this is you hesitated slightly as you were talking about it, and it's the terminology of surfaces is really strange, isn't it? Maybe it's just me getting used to the terminology, but surfaces seems like a strange phrasing from Google for this kind of release or what it encompasses. But can you just summarize what surfaces are in context of this change?
Well, I mean, I suppose the reason they picked that name is it's kind of ambiguous. It doesn't tie them to any one particular kind of thing. So, I mean, if you think that at the moment shopping ads can show on, they can show in YouTube, they can show in Gmail, they can show as part of like smart shopping campaigns, how that incorporates like a remarketing element you can show across their entire display network. So by just calling it surfaces, I think they've given a hint to how potentially this could. Okay, so it's three Google properties at the moment, but you know, I think it's fair to assume that could go much wider.
No, that's interesting. It may be a glimpse into what they're thinking about for the future. And just to confirm, and do correct me if I'm wrong here. So this rolled out in the US for US advertisers back in April, shortly after the announcement, but it's still not available to people in the UK with an estimated launch date at the end of the year. That's around Q4. Is that correct?
So I was just checking this before the call because I thought, well, that would be good. That would be good of me to do that. what they have at the moment is for the here we go. So for shopping. So you're familiar with the idea that so Google Shopping predominantly is for e-commerce advertisers, but if you have a local store, you can run what they call a local inventory ads. So if you have you're a big chain and you've got maybe 30 plus stores around the UK and you know your stock availability, you can say, oh yes, we have this locally for you. So apparently, I didn't realize this, but apparently the local there's a local services across Google, and those local in-store products are already available in the UK, and they're available in, I mean, there's about a dozen different countries. that's already available in. And that's a change since I last looked at this a month ago. Where it's available for the main product listings, last time I checked, it was just the US and India, and Indonesia has been added since then. They stated in that April announcement that it was going to be available. These changes will take effect in the US before the end of April, and we aim to expand this globally before the end of the year. So that's where that message has come from. Would that be October when it's most useful, or will that be in December when it's going to be nice but perhaps a little late? We'll have to see.
Yeah. And I guess one more key message, which we might touch on as we're talking through this, but it sounds like the message from you would be there's no reason if you're selling products and you can get the feed implemented, there's no reason not to launch your Google Shopping feed in this free model. That sounds like it's the case, because essentially it's a new form of free advertising or organic advertising.
Oh, yeah. There is absolutely no reason to do it. What's interesting there is that there are a lot of online stores, a lot of retailers that do not currently do any Google advertising. And part of this program is Google's way of addressing that. So what they're actually doing is, even if you don't have a feed, even if you don't supply Google the information, they will start scraping, much in the same way they do with all their organic listings. They are going to start to create product listings for your website based on the data they can crawl from your product pages. So even if you don't have the ability to get a feed together, you may still benefit from this program. However, naturally, the more information you can provide to Google, the less work you give Google to do, the more likelihood you're going to see more traffic from this.
Yeah, essentially, it's as with any new feature rollout, or in this case, it's essentially a feature rollout, but it's almost like a new channel rollout. So for marketers, that's going to mean optimization. And again, we might get onto that as we're talking, but for marketers out there, that means there's this whole new channel to optimize for. Beyond just the basic measures of either Google taking your products and listing them, or beyond just initial kind of feed settings and just having your feed there, there's going to be a whole world of optimization beyond that. So you already touched on feed generation, but can you maybe speak a little bit more now on how businesses can start preparing for the free model changes and other considerations?
So I think, especially if you're not currently doing Google Shopping, I still believe it's worth creating an account on the Google Merchant Center. You know, register it. It's not going to cost you anything, and apply. And okay, so for those that are doing shopping ads, you won't have this automatically. You do have to apply for it. So get to your Merchant Center, apply for the program. And what you'll see is you'll get, after a day or two, you'll get feedback from Google as to what changes they need with your products, with your data, what they have within the services report. So the normal Google Shopping report, there'll be three statuses: that there's either approved, there's disapproved, or there's pending. With services, you've got a fourth level. You've got this one called partially approved. That basically means not approved. If you're partially approved, try and get it so you are fully approved. That would be a recommendation. Another thing, so get apply on the program, get it running, and look for the update. If you're using a CSS partner, which a lot of UK, European-based advertisers have taken advantage of the whole Google CSS discount, you may find that especially if you're managing this account for somebody else, your access to the Google Merchant Center might not be the full original access. So you might find that when you go and apply for this program, that you get some message about the surfaces needs you to change your CSS. That's because the CSS needs to be Google CSS for the surfaces program. You can have both. This won't ruin your CSS discount for shopping ads, but that's just something to look out for. So again, it's not a major problem. It's a little bit of a a few hurdles to jump through. So again, it's the sort of thing that's worth preparing in advance. You don't want to get the update that this is going to be free from a couple of days and you've got all these things to try and do. So that's worth being mindful of. The other thing which is also important to note is how, assuming the majority of us are going to be using Google Analytics to track all of our performance across our channels, across email, organic, Google, Bing. What's important to know is that by default, Google services clicks come into Google Analytics as organic traffic. So as a PPC guy, knowing that 20% of my Google shopping traffic was suddenly going to go as to the SEO guy's credit, you know, I kind of wanted to fix that. And I think that's fair, right? Because a lot of the reasons those clicks have come is because you've optimized the feed. And anyway, we don't need to get into that. But what I feel, because as we've discussed, this is a separate channel, I think it should be identified as that. So the way that I've been doing this is that within the there's a few options, but the simplest thing is within the Google Merchant Center, set up a feed rule to append your link with the UTM tracking that you can do for Google Analytics. So if you've got an email campaign, it says what the name of the email is, all that kind of stuff. So UTM tracking for Google Analytics to say that the source is Google, rightly so, and the medium, I would say the medium should be surfaces. Medium equals surfaces. And then that traffic, when you're looking at your reports, your analytics reports, you're not going to see this unexplained boost in organic traffic and this drop in shopping. You have to explain it to be able to say, okay, well, here it is, it's surfaces. So I think it's again, more things to prepare. So just to be aware of that.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually, particularly the point about if you set it up as a campaign with a medium of surfaces, then you're not going to have that issue where I know a lot of people out there are undertaking organic forecasting, for example, and it will completely mess up your numbers if suddenly you have a spike that exceeds your forecast because of a change in essentially a change in which this channel is attributed. And so it makes sense to track that as a different medium, so that you're in advance to prepare for that and when it rolls out. So I think that's really interesting advice. Why do you think Google is making this change from the just to put it in context, when they released this announcement, they were talking about it. This was something that was always planned, and they have accelerated it due to COVID-19 and allowing people to shop from home easier. You know, obviously I'm paraphrasing, and that's a summarized version of what they were talking about, but what's your view?
Okay. Yeah, no, that's interesting, actually. I hadn't really thought about how COVID might have sped that up. I mean, there's been talk about a lot of some statement where in the last 3 months, the internet and e-commerce has come on 3 years development in the last 3 months because of just been so much shifting towards e-commerce. So actually, no, that's quite interesting. I hadn't quite thought about that. I mean, their main reason for this is absolutely due to Amazon. What you've got is the I'm not even attempting to mention some of the numbers because I don't know what they are, but you know, you've heard these things where there's so much percentage of online shopping starts on Amazon, online research, online searching. And obviously that's Google's business. They want that. So, if all the product on there has to go through a paid model, then obviously a lot of people aren't going to bother doing it. So that's the reason. That's the reason why they are not exclusively making this for people that provide them a fee. That's the reason why they're going to go out and they're going to crawl retailers' pages to build shopping ads, shopping listings for them. Because what they want is okay, I'm going to butcher this, but say, for example, there's 3-4 times more product available on Amazon than there is on Google. That's a problem for Google. So they want to readdress that balance, and this is their way of doing it. So yeah, absolutely. It's down to their attempt to go against Amazon. The fact that they also have within the US and France a kind of their own marketplace product, which is, I've got some clients that are using that product and they say it's good. They've had it around for a few years. So I don't know whether this is something they're going to roll out a little bit more. But absolutely. They see themselves losing ground to Amazon. So this is definitely going to be their way of doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what unfolds, actually. It's such a mammoth task to take on Amazon. And particularly when... this is just my personal opinion, but I don't think Google have done a particularly good job over the years of the Google Shopping, of just developing Google Shopping. So this is a big change. And I'm hoping that it comes with changes. And as I was reading through, both in preparation for this podcast, but more generally recently, there's a feature of Google Shopping, and you might be able to tell me better than I can. I think it's like My Shopping Hub at Google or something. It's like you can go to this URL and it gives you product recommendations based on your search history and websites that you've been on. So it looks like they're really trying to roll out that kind of e-commerce personalization aspect, which again is just that further indication that they're really, that essentially what you're saying is correct. There's a big drive here to take on Amazon and develop that e-commerce offering, that search offering, at least within the e-commerce sector. So I'm really curious to see what happens later in the year, and also you'd imagine that would bring about some form of response from Amazon as well. So it'll be interesting to see if they adapt to the changes. I guess that's you were on the podcast 5 years ago. You're on the podcast 5 months ago. So maybe in 5 weeks' time, we'll have an announcement from Amazon. You can come back on and talk to me about that.
Yeah, it's moving that quickly at the moment.
Yeah, it's moving that fast at the moment. So just moving on in terms of businesses that are out there and are kind of ready to prepare in terms of launching a feed and then optimizing that feed. Can you give some recommendations about where people should be spending their attention, the top items to focus on?
Yeah, absolutely. Aside from everything we've spoken about with surfaces, in fact, actually, there was one thing just before it slips my mind, there was one other thing around that. What's interesting is understanding the fact that Google are going to be creating listings from retailers that haven't provided them with a feed. They're doing that by reading, interpreting the schema markup. So, you know, the standardized markup that we should be using on our product pages to mention price and all this other formatted stuff. That what we should infer from that is that that has now become a lot more important than it was before. So if we were providing a feed, it's good to have the markup to say, yes, this product is $19.99. And when you come to my website, you can see that that's the price. That was always good. That's been like that for a few years. But in terms of additional information that Google might want, and this is another point. So if you go to Amazon, you're going to have a load of filters that you can search with, far more than just the keywords that you type in, as you would with Google. So this kind of formatted information about features, the way that people might search, filter, how they browse, maybe even on your own website, that kind of thing, that sort of information, get that in the feed, but then also get that in the schema markup on your product pages, because what I interpret from this is that Google's going to be investing a lot more into their technology to scrape that information from the product pages. Because if they're going to be going out of their way to make up that massive gap of products that they don't have that Amazon does, then they're going to have to really up their game in terms of how they interpret the information on the product pages. So, I would say, invest in getting all those extra bits of formats. In fact, actually, it's all coming back to me now, Scott. There was an update quite recently for the feed specifications where they have actually got this element which I'm not going to remember what it's called right now, but it's designed for that. A way of us saying, yeah, this bike is made of aluminium. This bike has 18 gears. Yeah, that kind of thing. This computer has a 128 gigabyte SSD. Yeah, those sort of bits of information. So they've actually brought that as a new format. So you've checked the new announcements around that. But yeah, we've got to up our game in terms of the feed information that we have around those formats that Google might want to see. So yeah, sorry, that was something that just came back to me. But in terms of other things, what I think is going to be increasingly important is for companies to leverage their own business intelligence. So for instance, your ability to adjust bids around your price competitiveness. So a couple of clients that I work with, they use a price comparison tool that's called Boardfy. There's a number of products that do this sort of price comparison stuff, but this particular tool actually has an additional feature that where it will label your Google shopping feed based on whether a product is X percentage overpriced or underpriced, or you know, expensive or competitive, however you want to spin it. So I'm using that. So I'm actually suppressing my bids on the products that my clients are a little bit off the mark on, so I can invest that bit more on where they are, where they're offering the best price. That works really well. Another thing is to understand across your inventory what are the products that you see the most returns on. So a client that I work with, so they work in the bathroom trade. So certain products would just have a tendency to be more easily damaged than say something that's metal. So those products, if you know you're going to see more returns, then you're going to benefit from having the ability to set different ROAS targets based around your returns rate to help cover those losses. Similar thing with margin. So it's quite typical to say if you've got a shopping campaign structured around, say, different product categories, you know, okay, we have a better margin on this category of products than that category of products, or maybe even by brand, certain brands have a higher margin than others. But what I think we should do is we should do it on a SKU level. So we understand the specific margins of each of the individual SKUs. So we're not bidding around categories or brands, but actually by the margin themselves. So we can move more towards an ROI model rather than a return on ad spend model. And yeah, and all of that you can use by the use of custom labels. In addition to that, if you are one thing that's working quite well for us in the clothing sector is understanding that if we have a certain certain North Face jacket, for example, we might have that in six different sizes, but if we're only in stock on the extra small and the extra large, we won't advertise that product. So we're in stock, technically we're in stock and we have products to show, but if it's one of the obscure sizes, we're still likely to get clicks, but we just don't get as good a conversion rate. So we'll pull that product and we'll just focus on the ones where we have it in medium or large, that kind of thing. So that's been working really well. Those are a lot of things that I've been focusing on recently. So again, pulling in the retailers' information into the feed. But in addition to that, the good old classic stuff for feed optimization, it's critical that you can optimize your titles. That is the absolute one thing. If you can't do anything else, be able to optimize your titles. If you have a small inventory of products and you can write a custom title per product, great. If you've got thousands, then the fact that you could come up with some sort of a rule that includes additional interesting bits of information, that's really important as well. So for example, if you've got products that have Gore-Tex material, so something quite technical, something quite specific, something people would actually look for, to be able to extract that information from the description and add it to the title, that works really well. G-tins, possibly the most frustrating, boring, and tedious thing that I've ever had to deal with Google Shopping, but G-tins, so incredibly important. Really, really worth getting that right. Other things that have always been pretty useful, ensuring that you know what your best-selling products are and making sure that they are visible. That's been a recurring theme. There's been a number of instances where I've looked at accounts and there's been this sort of disconnect between what's going on shopping and what's going on the website. If something's selling well on the website, make absolutely sure that when you search for it on google.com that you can actually see your ads showing. So you're understanding your best sellers, make sure they're visible. Consider a different landing page as well. So by default, your landing page is your product page. But if you ever look at a Google Shopping ad for eBay from years ago, they picked onto this pretty quickly, is that their product page has it's a hybrid. It's got category elements in it. So what they'll do is they understand that people that come from Google, they want to see that product primarily, but they might not necessarily just want to buy that product. They might want to see some others. So they keep it on their site. Does a very good job of lowering bounce rate. Shopping ads are notoriously high, with sort of 70-80% bounce rates being quite normal. If you can do some sort of hybrid landing page, that will bring your bounce rates down and can have a real positive effect on the conversion rate as well. So yeah, those are all good feed optimization tactics that I've just thrown off and rattled at you really quickly.
No, I think there's some great tips in there for listeners that are kind of, whether you've got an existing feed and you're looking to optimize it, or you're setting up for the feed for the first time, it's kind of one of those, replay that segment over and over. I'll probably turn that segment into a little clip as well for social media when we kind of look to promote this episode, because there's some great bits of advice in there. What I'm interested to know, because there are so many different elements of feed management and feed optimization that you talked about, how much of this are you doing manually and how much through third-party tools and services? I'm always looking for kind of, number one, I'm a software geek, so I just love experimenting with new software. But have you found Google Shopping software or third-party services that make this process even easier? And if so, could you maybe recommend a few?
It's interesting, actually, because I don't have any one particular go-to tool, which is probably kind of surprising in some ways, or maybe it's not because there's so many options. But generally what I'll do is I'll use whatever I'm given. So when I work with a client, there'll be something in place already. And typically it's based around the platform they're using. So I've got a lot of clients that are on Shopify, and even on Shopify, we have, I'm either using the default feed that they've got set up, or there's a third party, tool that's being used, but I don't think I've ever used the same one twice. Magento, there's a tool, Data Feed Manager and Simple Google Shopping that were, I think they're made by the same company. They've always been really good. Even going from Magento 1 to Magento 2. But generally, I've got another client that's using actually, I'm not sure what that suite they're using, but for their website, but we use Chanable for their feed management. That's quite useful. That's quite good. But in some instances, some of the best feeds that I've got are where I've actually just manually created it with a Google Sheet. Okay. So it depends, because if your business is just selling a small range of products, maybe you've got, I don't know, just a dozen, maybe less than 50, you could potentially just get away with a Google Sheet. And the benefit there is you've got full control and you can do whatever you want. But feed rules, I mean, I mentioned those before within the Google Merchant Center. It's kind of about your ability to, first and foremost, get the information into Google. That's the critical thing, something that's actually going to get it in there. And if you're changing prices or things are going out of stock, you want that to be updated. So, yes, using a manual feed is going to trip you up there. But then your ability to actually be able to change and optimize the data. So my point of saying how critical it is that you can optimize your titles, if you're working with a feed system that means you cannot do that, then you need to move. Absolutely, you need to move. The problem, I think, with where I've had it, with why I haven't tried to move things around too much, is that the item ID, the code that you provide Google to say, this the ID is, it's the unique number for that listing. Whenever you change platform, you do not want that number to change. That's your that number when you're running shopping ads. That's the one that stores the history, that stores the quality score. If you had to change all of, if you move from, say, so we've had this a lot lately with e-commerce, and so many clients were using Magento 1. They stopped supporting it in last month, and so many clients have moved off that, and so much conversation that I've had with people at the moment saying, wherever you're moving, just ensure that your item ID doesn't need to change. So that's been quite interesting. That's why we've come up with some fairly interesting solutions around using different providers. Those are the critical rules. If you're going to move and use a different system, make sure your item IDs ideally can be preserved. Of course, if you're bringing new products in, then it's less critical. And that you have the ability to change your title. I don't know if that really answers your question, Scott, because I haven't really set on any one particular solution. So
no, there are many different options for feeds there. But as you were talking, and as I asked the question, I remembered something as well from, and I can't remember whether this was from the original press release or announcement from Google, or whether this came after. But I'm almost certain for the people out there that are maybe starting feeds for the first time, or perhaps looking to swap feeds, I'm almost certain that I read that Google have been working directly with e-commerce platforms such as, and I'm fairly certain from memory, it was Shopify, WooCommerce, BigCommerce, and maybe a few others, to work on feed integrations directly in those platforms, which number one, will help a lot of people out there, because if you're a small business, the likelihood is that you're probably going to be on one of those platforms. If you're launching a feed for the first time, you want everything in one place, that's going to be really helpful. I guess number two, the second thing that comes to mind is the fact that they've, and I'm fairly certain that they've noted that they're working with those providers, is that that shows their commitment to doing this. You know, there's not with every product do you receive these kind of dedicated Google integrations or the announcement from Google that they're going to have this prepared. So again, another thing that goes to show their commitment in this area to Google Shopping and its development to compete with Amazon, as you said. One thing before we just move on a moment, and I was curious to know whether you noted that Google might come and crawl your site and list your products even in the absence of a feed earlier. This might be a difficult question to answer, but I'm assuming that still means that you have to opt in to the new Google Shopping, the free option, before Google then lists your products. So you can't just sit back and wait for that to happen. You have to go in and physically opt in to be able to be listed.
So my understanding is that it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In much the same way that your website is going to appear in organic. It's the same. It's the same permission, I guess.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. That's my understanding.
Yeah. I might, if I can, I'll research that, because it's a really interesting point. Because if people assume that Google's going to come along, crawl your products, list them for free, and actually you have to, it's an opt-in product. I guess that's useful information to know as well. So for our listeners out there, I'll try and do my research. If the information's out there, I'll link to that in the show notes too. And actually, just on the topic of continued learning, because this is something that's moving rapidly, where do you go to for up-to-date information about Google Shopping and what's happening in this space?
So the two blogs that I check every week is Google's own blog, Google Ads blog, I should say, specifically. That's really useful for hearing their updates and their obviously their spin on their updates. And Search Engine Land is the other one that I check regularly. So that's really useful for, you know, their opinions then on those updates. But yeah, both of those sources are really good for covering Google Shopping.
Amazing. That's been a really interesting discussion, and I'm kind of really excited about what happens into the future with Google Shopping and surfaces, and what that could mean into the future as well. That's something that stands out to me from earlier in our discussion. Before I let you go, can you let our listeners know where they can find you?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn's best. I don't know if you can put my link in the
absolutely the will well.
But email me rob@freewheelingtraffic.com, and yeah, if this has got anybody wanting to discuss it more or you know, ask any questions, I'm more than happy to help where I can.
And like I said, maybe when there's more announcements about this, or after a few months have passed, we'll get you back on the podcast for a fifth time. And I'll have to look at our records and see who our most featured guests are. But I'd imagine you're up there at this point. That's pretty impressive.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for your time. This has been the Internet Marketing Podcast, and all the best to our listeners and to you, Rob.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.